Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters. This is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Mike Elk, who is a labor journalist based in Washington, D.C. He writes for Harper's Magazine, The American Prospect, The Huffington Post, and is a staff writer for In These Times. Last Thursday, he attempted to question Honeywell CEO David Cote at an event at the U.S. Capitol, but the microphone was ripped from his hand. Since then, the video of this incident has gotten 50,000 views on YouTube. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Elk.
Great to be on the show.
And just set the scene for us there. Was this a committee room hearing, or where did this take place, this incident? In the corridors, or just describe the environment first.
This hearing happened. It was a public forum held with a bunch of CEOs and congressmen talking about the economy. And I got up to ask a question at this forum, and I started asking it, and immediately somebody was beckoning at me to take to stop asking the question, and they tried to take the microphone away from me, and I resisted them taking the microphone away from me. And then finally they pulled the microphone out of my hands. This is a senior advisor to Congressman Tim Scott. Pulled the microphone out of my hands, and they started questioning me, and somebody pulled my arm, the staffer for the congressman, and tried to pull me out of the room.
So did you say this was a public hearing?
Yes, this is a public hearing. It was a public event, open to the public, and I got credentialed as a reporter, and I was called upon to ask a question, and I stood up and asked it. And, this isn't a public building. It's in the basement of the U.S. Capitol.
And the fact that they didn't like the question was sufficient to have the staffer for Representative Tim Scott. Was he the chair of this subcommittee?
It wasn't a subcommittee. It was just an event he was hosting.
Oh, so it wasn't a hearing then. It was what kind of an event was it? A fundraiser or a...
No, it was just an event on manufacturing in the U.S.
Oh, I see,
And whatnot, yes.
And was there any other CEOs apart from the Honeywell CEO there?
Yeah, Carly Fiorina, was there, as was Steve Forbes. I mean, there were a lot of folks there.
I see. So
a lot of Republican congressmen and lobbyists running around.
Okay, and were there any other reporters present?
Yes, there were several other reporters present, some of whom recorded it, some colleagues of mine.
Uh-huh.
There was another reporter present. I showed up to the event, and I gave them my business card, and they gave me a lanyard that identified me, with a badge on it that identified me as a member of the press.
Uh-huh.
And I then took that... that lanyard, wore it over my neck and had it in there. And as I was being, this guy was trying to haul me out of the room for asking this question, I said to him, I'm a member of the press, I don't want to be treated this way. And this woman, who I guess was also a member of the press, I don't know who she was, screamed, where's your credentials? And I said, they're here. And she said, that's not Hill credentials, because if you're a member of the press on the Hill, if you work there regularly, you need special credentials. Which I don't work in the Capitol Hill regularly.
So who was this woman then? Was she with the Capitol Hill press corps? Did she have the credentials?
Yeah, she had the certain credentials, but the fact is I identified myself as a member of the press, and I gave them my business card when I showed in. So they knew who I was.
Right.
And
it's a public hearing, so I don't...
Yeah.
But who was this woman, by the way, that
I don't know her name. I don't know her.
You don't know what affiliation she was? What?
No, I have no idea.
Well, that seems extraordinary that a fellow journalist would want to hang you out to dry when clearly you're in the right, in as much as you're an American citizen, I take it, and you're entitled to be there. Again, I'm speaking with Mike Elk, who is a labor journalist based in Washington, D.C. He writes for Harper's Magazine, The American Prospect, The Huffington Post, and is a staff writer for In These Times. Last Thursday, he attempted to question Honeywell CEO David Cote at an event at the U.S. Capitol, but the microphone was ripped from his hand. Since then, the video of this incident has gotten 50,000 views on YouTube. What was it about the question that had this aide from Tim Scott? Now, Tim Scott's he's a Republican, right? From where? From Tennessee or somewhere?
South Carolina,
right? So tell me. what the question was that upset these people on Capitol Hill.
You know, the question that upset these kind of people is that I was asking about a labor struggle where a bunch of union workers were replaced with non-union workers against in violation of a contract and at a uranium facility in southern Illinois. And one of these non-union workers caused a release of toxic radioactive UF6 gas into the atmosphere for 7 minutes. And I was asking about that. And I was asking about, you know, problems with the fact that they didn't notify the community about the leak and that they didn't do all these other things. So I was asking about this when this situation happened here. And they wanted to cut me off. And the incredible part was Congressman Tim Scott then came up to me and said, well, you can talk to, you know, the CEO afterwards. There's going to be a little huddle and you can go and try to talk to him. And I said, all right. So I went to go and try to talk to the CEO, and immediately he ran into a side room. I followed him into that side room, and when I got in there, I got shoved by a member of his staff, as well as another member who I identified as Rob Ferris, Honeywell's external communications director. And Cody then ran out of separate doors, and Rob Ferris, who works for Honeywell, then barricaded me into this room and wouldn't let me leave it for several minutes, which is illegal. It's false imprisonment. And today I filed charges against both the GOP staffer for grabbing me, a simple assault, and as well as false imprisonment against Honeywell's external communications director, Rob Ferris.
So tell me, I mean, false imprisonment, you could almost stretch that to kidnapping, technically, but you were literally held in a kind of ante room in the Capitol and forcibly held by...
Not by the police, but by Honeywell aides.
Yeah, aides to this guy, David Cote, or Cote, is that how you pronounce it?
Cody.
So where were the Capitol Police in this? Were they around anyway?
No, they weren't around when any of this happened. And then afterwards, I left the room and I followed the gentleman that held me in the hallway demanding that they give me their identification. And I still don't know who the one gentleman was, and they refused to do this. They refused to give me their identification. And I was swearing at them. I was upset. I'd been held against my will. And the Capitol Police, I guess they had the Capitol Police detain me briefly for questioning, and they asked me if I wanted to file charges. And at first I said no, because, you know, as a reporter, you don't want to sound like a crybaby. You want to sound like you can take your punches. And then I decided that I did want to file charges because, you know, this is a public building. If public figures want to come into a public building, and anybody who has the right to come and question them. The U.S. Capitol, the Congress may be financially owned by Honeywell, but the U.S. Capitol is still publicly owned property. And if they want to come onto it, they're going to be asked tough questions.
So it sounds like the Capitol Police actually were on your side in as much as they...
Yeah, and they've been very supportive when I've talked with them. I waited over the weekend because I just needed to think it over. And they said to me, you know, we're gonna, you know, we wanna do something. I said to them, I wanna do something. So,
well, you know, again, I'm speaking with Mike Elke, labor journalist based in Washington D.C. He writes for Harper's Magazine, The American Prospect, The Huffington Post, and is a staff writer for In These Times. And last Thursday, he attempted to question Honeywell CEO David Cote at an event at the U.S. Capitol, but the microphone was ripped from his hand, and since then the video has gone viral and gotten 50,000 views on YouTube. You know, this is similar to what happened fairly recently to Joel Fox, who made the film Gasland, and he's finishing up a sequel to his film Gasland that was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary, and... he was attempting to film a public hearing on Capitol Hill recently involving oil and gas issues, you know, pertinent to his film. And in particularly, representatives of the Environmental Protection Agency were being grilled by oil-friendly Republican congressmen about EPA's findings that water in, I think, Montana and Wyoming had been contaminated by fracking and it had gotten into the underground aquifers. And this was testimony from that the congresspeople were trying to refute that the EPA scientists had were on the hot seat having to defend. And he got kicked out of the hearing. I don't know that a lot of solidarity was there from the rest of the press, although it was filmed. Apart from the fact that as an American citizen and a reporter, you're being shut down, the thing that I find appalling is that your colleagues in the press don't come to your defense.
Well, you know, the next day, President Obama was on stage with the same CEO of Honeywell, and ABC News interviewed him and didn't even ask anything about the incident. It's well known that a lot of these kind of people have an agreement with reporters. I'll talk to you, but only if you don't ask me tough questions. Mm-hmm. I think that's the spirit in Washington. You don't want to upset your sources. You know, I used to think the problem with the media was that it was corporately owned. And having worked as a reporter for several years, I think the bigger problem is that people are afraid of taking on their sources. They're lazy. They don't have courage. I think that's the bigger problem.
Well, they don't want to lose access, right? And if they lose access, then their editors can say, well, we don't need you, you know. Yeah. That's the way that, I guess, the system, that's how they're co-opted, right?
Yeah.
So what's the next move then? You're going to sue?
You know, I filed charges against them.
Against both the
other legal options, including a civil suit. I'm looking for lawyers on that.
Right, but you, specifically, you're filing charges against the aide to Representative Tim Scott. He's the one who physically tried to wrest the microphone away from you.
Yeah, and that's simple assault.
Right.
And I'm filing charges against Rob Ferris, who's the Honeywell corporate communications director.
And he's the guy that locked you in a room, an anteroom in the Capitol, to prevent you from talking to his boss, the CEO of Honeywell, David Coty.
Yeah.
Well, what can I say? It's an appalling example of the power of the oligarchy versus the fecklessness of the press. I mean, the press is supposed to be the watchdogs, not the lapdogs. And if you get roughed up and held against your will by the flacks for the oligarchs, that's a pretty sad day. You're saying that ABC the next day had an opportunity to bring it up. Did they know about the incident?
I don't know if they know about the incident, but the bigger question is, why doesn't every reporter in the country know about different labor struggles that are happening? I've been writing about Honeywell for 2 years, and this is the most attention I've ever gotten.
Right, and then
they're writing about three different labor struggles. I mean, they're on a union-busting power drive, and Obama is very close with the CEO of Honeywell. Indeed, while there was a lockout at this uranium facility in Metropolis, Illinois, the President Obama flew on Air Force One with Honeywell CEO Dave Coty.
So what's the explanation? I mean, I don't imagine it's because of his relationship with Obama that the press don't cover it. It seems to be a broader issue that they don't cover labor issues because the corporate press is owned by corporations who have their own problems with labor. At least they don't have they have an adversarial relationship. Would that be the explanation?
Yeah.
I see. So
yeah, I think the big problem in this situation is that these guys, I wrote a piece a couple of weeks ago about Fortune Magazine. They did this big profile for the Honeywell CEO. And in Fortune Magazine, what they basically said was, you know, he was able to keep the company profitable because he kept labor costs down while productivity went up. Well, what does that mean to keep labor costs down? This guy wrote a 4,000-word article, didn't interview a single Honeywell worker. That's the problem with the press, is that they think it's this conversation between the elites and not a conversation that actually involves regular folks and elites.
Well, but the story that you specifically asked the CEO of Honeywell about is that in a labor dispute, they brought in non-union labor who clearly doesn't have the training. The guy turned on some valve that released radioactivity into the environment. That's not a labor issue. That's an environmental issue. That affects everybody.
Yeah, I certainly agree.
So,
and I think it's a big issue, and I think it's something that I think, you know, it's just awful. I mean, there's so few labor reporters in this country. I feel like I know all six of them. It's awful.
Well, you know, you're talking to a member of the non-corporate press. So, I mean, I sympathize with you, and I wish that the Pacifica Network was more powerful instead of, you know, being on the verge of bankruptcy. I don't know what to tell you, you know, except that, you know, me and my listeners are in great sympathy with you, and we're very concerned that the playing field in this country is so far from level with following Citizens United. I mean, the cynicism of Citizens United is that the Supreme Court allows both corporations and unions to put unlimited amounts of money into campaigns, but
not just that, but now workers under Citizens United have to go to captive audience political readings. It gave corporations the right to do that, to hold, you know, to sit down and have a meeting with your boss and talk about who you're going to vote to. I mean, we covered how the Kochs were already doing that at Georgia Pacific.
So you mean, as a part of Citizens United, corporate CEOs can force their employees to be influenced by corporate and pro-Republican propaganda?
Yeah. We wrote a big story on thought control at Coke last year for The Nation, where we went out to the Georgia-Pacific plants in Oregon, and the Koch brothers were making their workers attend libertarian seminars and sending them letters in the mail about how their jobs would be at risk if they didn't vote Republican. That used to be illegal before Citizens United. I think that's more threatening in some way than all the money coming in.
Well, the point I was trying to make there, Mike Lux, is that the playing field is not level between the treasuries of unions and the treasuries of corporations. It's just ridiculous, and that unions are only down to about 6% of the workforce, and the public sector unions are under a threat from all these Republican governors who are trying to shut them down. And of course, you know, as we speak, there's a recall in Wisconsin, about that very issue.
Yep.
Well, just give us a closing sense of, you know, I don't want to feel defeated here. I want to feel that there's a way for the American people to take back their government and the American worker to get more justice and better benefits, could, even in a small way, be commensurate with the working conditions in other Western democracies.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you got to do what folks are doing in Wisconsin. They're trying. You know, the national unions didn't want to do that recall. I think folks got to get together and organize, and I think they can make some progress. Look, I don't see any big policy solutions being proposed in Washington that will help workers at all. The only ones I see being done are what workers at Palmero Pizza did in Milwaukee yesterday, where they went out on strike. I think that's how folks are going to get stuff, is not to look to their leaders, but to look to themselves and to get away from all this false rhetoric that TV news has. I mean, it's really about organizing the workplace.
Well, Mike Elkei, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Great to be on.
Again, I've been speaking with Mike Elk, who's a labor journalist based in Washington, D.C. He writes for Harper's Magazine, The American Prospect, The Huffington Post, and is a staff writer for In These Times. And last Thursday, he attempted to question Honeywell CEO David Cote at an event at the U.S. Capitol, but the microphone was ripped from his hand. Since then, the video has gone viral with 50,000 views on YouTube. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon and assistant producer Chris Scheid. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Disappeared by heaven.